2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. We're thankful for the news update on the half hour. And, of course, should anything break in Washington or elsewhere as we get you one day closer to the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden, we will go to ABC for that. But if not, we'll join ABC at the top of the hour and then have another look at what's happening locally and regionally. Tim Hughes, along with Bob Grove, who checks in with us. We tell you every week about the great podcast and great place to just get information on fun places in Utah, Road Trippin' with Bob and Mark.com. And Bob, we're about to explore one of those places that I had never heard of.
Yeah, and it's one that I hadn't really known much about prior to visiting them recently. I got in contact with them in the last month, but up in Emory County, well, up for us, down for you, you know, is an area I've traveled through quite often, but I don't know it as extensively as I do other parts of the state. But I made a visit there recently, and boy, what did I discovered, an amazing base camp for adventure.
It is the Big Mountain Lodge, and Brad Benson joins us now. Brad, welcome.
Thank you.
Looking forward to finding out more. First of all, tell us about your location, because it sounds like with the San Rafael Swell and the Manti La Salle Mountains right there, you might be just in heaven.
Yeah, we think so. Here in Farron, located right on Main Street, pretty much 10 or 15 minutes either direction. You can either be in the mountains or you can be out in the San Rafael Swell with just tons of great things to do.
Tell me how Big Mountain Lodge came about. How long has it been in operation and your involvement?
Well, we bought it a couple of years ago and have completely remodeled it and added a restaurant and different things to it, and then started some adventure things. We do rentals, guided tours, and different things like that, and so we've just been getting that going the last couple of years.
We're going to talk fishing in our Fish Bites segment coming up in a minute, and we'll check in with Paul Phillips at Strawberry and talk about the ice there. But you have in your same wheelhouse some great fishing opportunities up there as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there's lots of different reservoirs around here to fish in, and we just hosted a fishing tournament for the county. Millsite on Ice is what they called it, and but that's just one of many places to ice fish down here, or fish in the summertime as well.
Bob, how did they get on your radar?
Well, it's actually another friend and client of mine, Steve Alt from the Provo Canyon Ventures, knows Brad and his wife Julie, and they were looking for some help, and so he recommended calling me.
You talk about the lodge, Brad, but I also see on your website, which, by the way, is BigMountainLodgeUtah.com. Make sure you put the Utah in there, BigMountainLodgeUtah.com. You talk about the lodge, but it looks like there's some individual cabins as far as the lodging goes. Are all of the rooms in individual cabins?
Nope. Some of them are in the lodge itself, but then we have 8 individual cabins that people can stay in as well.
And when is your big season, if there is such a thing? Are you getting known more this time of year in the winter? Although snowmobiling, I'm sure, is kind of tough right now with the hand that Mother Nature has dealt us. You obviously have activities that are happening all year round.
Sure. Yeah, there can be lots of things going on right now. It's a little slow right now, but as soon as spring comes, we're pretty much busy until the snow flies. A lot of people like to come and ride out in the swell in the spring and the fall when it's a little bit cooler. And then the rest of the summer, they like to go up in the mountains where it's a little cooler and do a lot of side-by-siding and different things like that.
And you have rentals of things like razors and other side-by-sides?
Yes, we do. We have razors for rent. We also have jet skis for rent at most of the state park locations around here at the reservoirs. We have four-wheelers for rent, fishing gear for rent, and, of course, snowmobiling if we'd ever get some snow.
So. Yeah, there would be that. Bob, for you and I think we could probably compromise and find a place where we could ride bikes together there.
Yeah, I haven't spent much time there yet, but I'm going to discover that this spring. But yeah, there's places that you could go. What I really like about this area, Tim, is it's a central location in any direction of going to places where there is adventure. But I tell you, those who really like to go off-roading, you know, take their side-by-sides and ATVs and go into the swell, this is right at the threshold of it on the main road that goes into the area where most of the best off-roading opportunities are.
Tell us about some of those trails, Brad, for both mountain bikers and ATVs.
Yeah, there's different trails designated for each. There's trails designated for horseback riding as well. They're working on a big mountain biking trail right now out at the Wedge, which will be called the Goodwater Rim Trail. There's tons of different trails, Devil's Racetrack, Fix-It Pass, Eva Conover. A lot of people like to go out to some of the old mines out in the swell. Copper Globe is another one. Go out through Eagle Canyon. So, yeah, there's just lots and lots of trails to go on, both for horses, bikes, and also for side-by-sides.
I've been doing this show now on KSL. I was trying to think the other day for a little more than two decades, and it never ceases to amaze me, Bob Grove, and I'm sure you find this yourself, although you visit many more places than I do, that there's always somewhere new to explore, and this is one of those places.
There is. You know, I've been traveling extensively. I remember when the show started about 20 years or so ago. But yeah, traveling extensively through the state, and I'm always finding something new. I mean, there's a lot of things out there, especially in these rural areas. That's where I like to spend the time, and everybody's talking about the crowds at the parks and that. You know, there's really no reason why you have to go to where that is, because there's so many other wide open space areas to visit, and Emery County is another one.
I'm never afraid to admit that I don't know or have never heard of something, and the Copper Globe ATV Trail, Brad, is one I've never heard of.
Yeah, that's a really fun one to explore. Go and see some of the old structures and things down there from the old mine.
Well, if you love to explore things like ancient petroglyphs or dinosaur footprints and bones, there's some of that to be found out there, too, along with all of the other geological wonders that we talk about in the area of the San Rafael Swell. That in and of itself could be a full adventure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Give folks an idea of any package offers that you might have for folks this time or any time during the year.
Well, we're putting together some different types of packages to suit people's needs. We have the ability to rent out a side-by-side with a room and go out up through Farron Canyon and work their way over to Joes Valley, and we'll have jet skis on site there. They could go jet skiing, eat lunch there at one of our food trucks, and then side-by-side back to Farron. That's just one of the packages that we have put together there.
Well, that unfortunately, here we are, almost noon, and I have been up since 3 this morning, did Utah's morning news at 5. The picture of that hamburger and fries is looking really good to me right about now. So there is food on site, which is always part of the outdoor experience for me anyway. Bob, yeah. You're going to be doing work with these guys, it sounds like.
I am. I'm going to help them with some of their marketing and try to get some exposure for them. You know, they're not on any major tour route. You know, they're on Highway 10 that runs through Emery County. And so, you know, those are areas that aren't as well known. One thing I wanted to throw in here is that in addition to the Big Mountain Lodge and the facilities there in town, outside of town on the way out to the swell, they have this wonderful ranch. You know, where it's great. Boy, I tell you, if there's any folks out there right now that are trying to find a place for a family reunion, you got to give Brad a call, because this place, I saw immediately that this is where we're going to hold our next family reunion.
Yeah. Real quick, Brad, what is this kids camp all about?
All right. It's called the Three Sevens Ranch. It's just a couple miles out of town. We have horses. We've put together a horsemanship program for kids and adults. It's a level program where they take riding and written tests and all the way from beginner and then to where they're training their own horses. And there's riding instruction every day, book instruction. And so these are week-long programs that kids come to. And so that's kind of what we've put together out there. But we have the facilities to do other things out there as well.
So it's a summer camp that you basically ship your kids off for a week at a time.
Correct.
I love that.
Yeah, and at the ranch, they got a beautiful lodge, a very large lodge with some cabins. Then within the inside the indoor arena, they've got bunkhouses for the kids. It's really a great operation.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be a ton of fun. All right, here's the website again, BigMountainLodgeUtah.com. Make sure you put the Utah on there, BigMountainLodgeUtah.com. Is there a phone number, Brad, that people should look to call you on?
Sure, that's 435-384-3333.
We've got another place to go play, Mr. Grove.
We certainly do. I got to get you out of the studio.
Yes, you do. Pry me out of this chair, and I won't fight too hard about it either. We need to take a break. So let's see. When we come back, it's Fish Bites, and we'll head to Strawberry. Paul Phillips is on the line. We'll find out about ice conditions there. Word is people have been catching fish, including, by the way, kokanee through the ice, which might be the first in a while.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
La la, oh my my, things get cooking around quarter past five. Men get stupid and women roll their eyes. And Tammy does a shimmy at the fish fry.
All right, time to talk a little fishing on Fish Bites here. We have just a reminder that Greg Paul's coming up to talk ice climbing in Ouray, Colorado in a minute. And I didn't remember, I guess. I should know this, Navi, but you're fairly familiar with that area, right?
Oh, I've been there maybe five times, and I've done three shows from there with you on the air.
Yeah, well, that tells you about all you need to know of my memory. but it is a really beautiful spot, and I look forward to sharing all of Greg's experiences with everybody. But speaking of ice, we thought it'd be a perfect time. We always look to mid-January to check in with Paul Phillips from Strawberry Bay Marina and find out about ice conditions up there. First of all, Paul, have you had the same strange, I mean, I guess you have, you live in the same state we do, but the same strange weather that we have just been talking about in this hour?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about no snow.
Yeah, that, yeah. Which I guess in one way is great for you and your brother. You don't have to stay up 24/7 to keep moving it off the road. But on the other hand.
No. We're having a really light snow year, but we have just tremendously good ice right now. Our temperatures have been really, really, really cold, and so we have good solid ice lake all the way lake through, and good travel conditions on it too. So you get a trade off there. I mean, the snowmobilers are having a rough time now. We don't have much snow, but fishing is kind of a trade off, and it's really good right now. So
yeah. I saw a picture on somebody's social media a couple of days ago of a nice rainbow that came out through the ice. Give us a little report on what you've seen at the store.
So it's been a little bit slow. I think because we don't have a lot of snow on top of the ice, that's still light conditions right underneath the ice. So the fish are staying suspended really high. We went out yesterday and caught quite a few, but it was with, they were suspended just right underneath the ice, like within 10 to 15 feet. So we weren't going deep. We had better success staying up closer to the ice. Caught a couple of kokanee. So kokanee are starting to show up. So it's starting to really pick up. We've had good ice now here for a week and a half, and lots of fishermen starting to come out, and so we're getting a lot more information on locations. The southern part of the lake right now is really good down by Renegade. and they're catching 30, 40 fish a day down there.
Well, you've answered one of the questions I might have had, and that is, and I think sometimes people make the mistake, and I'm guilty of this in the past before I knew any better, but if you're a person who, you know, took your sons or your daughters out to do fishing from the shoreline, never had a boat, your dream is to be able to go after the big ones in the middle of the lake. And so when you can, you get out as far as you can go, and it might be yet another mistake because you really don't have to go that far offshore to find these guys.
No, we were actually, if you're chasing kokanee, you really do need to be in the middle of the lake because they stay typically out where they are in the summertime. And so, but the closer to the shore and, you know, 10 to 15 feet of water right now with the ice conditions the way they are, the success is really good right now. Seeing quite a few more rainbows come in and lots of cuts. So we have a good fish population and it's nice to get out too, though.
Yeah. Do you change the tactics at all or the tackle you're using if you are targeting kokanee?
You do. We actually are fishing, you know, exactly like we would if we're in a trolling situation. We use a blade and a squid. We shorten up our squid leader length and keep it closer to the blade. And then all we do is drop down and just jig a little bit and we've had success. We went so many years not being able to catch these kokanee and figuring them out, and we finally figured out what we needed to do, and it was just basically fishing with the same tackle that you use when you're trolling, but you constantly move it when you drop down in.
The other thing that I try and mention every time, and you've educated us on this, me and the boys through the years, is you have to be so aware of your line when you're dropping it down into the hole. A lot of time these fish will take it on the drop, and it's just such a subtle thing. You'll see the line dropping, and all of a sudden there'll be a short pause, and that's what you need to be watching for.
Yeah, no, exactly. So if you are watching your line and it all of a sudden stops, it's, you know, usually 100% a fish that stopped it. And you just need to be quick, you know, just get back on it. And they usually, if you're double millworming it, they usually won't leave till they get both millworms off there. So if you have a down hit like that, you can hurry and reel up, get your slack out, and get on that fish really quick. And he usually sticks around and stays there so you can get a chance at him.
Yeah. What about business for you as far as lodging goes? I'm sure you still have rooms up there available. You said there isn't as much snowmobiling going on, but I always tell people if you pull into the parking lot and figure out that you left this or that at home, you've got a good supply of stuff.
No, we do. We're fully open right now. Everything's going. The ice fishermen are keeping us busy. We actually added a new service in a shuttle service so that if you want to get to the favorite places on the lake, we actually take you out on a snowmobile, drop you off at your favorite fishing spot and come and pick you up at a designated time.
Nice.
And so we offered that shuttle service, and it's, you know, people really, we have a big line every morning waiting, you know, to be shuttled to where they want to go. So usually it's a good thing because it opens up the lake to everybody, and the pressure just right here around the marina kind of subsides a little bit because this gets so much pressure, and it's nice to be able to get people to, you know, to their favorite place to fish.
All right. We are totally out of time. So they can find you, of course, at Strawberry Bay Marina, the store right there, or give them a number they can call or a website.
So they can call us at area code 435-548-2261 or strawberrybay.com.
Paul Phillips, the best of the best. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good day.
We'll take a break. ABC News at the top of the hour. On the other side, more ice talk, this time ice climbing, as we head to Ouray, Colorado with Greg Paul. Don't go away.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.